Welcome, 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 my friends, to the Mind Muscle Experience. This podcast is for those who realize that the human body is the single greatest tool we are given on this earth, a tool we're given to realize just how much potential human beings have. You're here because you want to explore how physical activity and proper nutrition connect to the right mindset, allowing us to realize just how much we're capable of, giving you the ultimate mind muscle experience. And we are back, my friends. Welcome back to another episode of the Mind Muscle Experience. My name is Tyler Egan. I am a certified personal trainer, and I am a huge fucking nerd when it comes to the human body. If you haven't already listened to the first episode of this two-part series, because I really don't know what else to call it, you have to go back and listen to part one, even though it's not labeled part one, but part one of the gut microbiome episode, where I talk about all things gut microbiome related, what the gut microbiome actually is, and how it is connected very, very strongly to our brain and how it all kind of flows. Now, after I did the research for these episodes, I did listen to a couple podcasts. One with Dr. I might say his name wrong here, so bear with me. With Dr. Emran Mehr. He's an MD, I believe he's a gastro. Let me read the back of his book so I know for sure before I start throwing shit out there. So on the back of his book, it says he is an executive director of the, I can't say that, some kind of center for neurobiology of stress and resilience, and the co-director of the Digestive Disease Research Center at the University of California at Los Angeles. His research has been supported by the National Institute of Health for the past 25 years. He's been in the game for a fucking minute, so I've learned. And I am, 57 pages in, and holy shit, I thought I learned a lot in the research for these episodes, but man, is this guy blowing my fucking mind. And there's a couple of things that I talked about in the last episode that I want to kind of revisit, and it'll kind of, guess, be a bit of a refresher for you guys to a degree as well, because there's some stuff that even as I was covering it in the episode and then read about it here, I'm like, oh my God, this is fucking nuts. So the first snippet that I want to, I have the book in front of me. I have a couple little things I want to read that he wrote in his book. So the first one is the gut, and a lot of this is the connection between the gut and the brain. And again, if you have been around for the Plants and PRs podcast and even the first two episodes of this podcast, you know that I'm a proud American. The national anthem will be played, I think, in about a minute here, so I might get caught off. The first little snippet I want to read from his book, and there will be a link for his book in the show notes. Guys, if you work in any kind of mental health related, what's the word I'm looking for here? Career, anything like that, you have to check this shit the fuck out. The brain and the gut are so connected. This is insane. In the membrane, you have to check this book out. It's so worth it. Anyway, the first snippet before the national anthem plays here is the gut is connected to the brain through thick nerve cables that can transfer information in both directions. This is going to be directly related to a couple of those things we hit on last episode. Actually, you know what? I'm going to reread that in a minute here because the national anthem is about to play.
Thank you.
Yes. I know what's always talking about. So let's get back into this book thing. Okay, so like I said, the gut is connected to the brain through thick nerve cables that can transfer information in both directions. Okay, I just thought that was a really good point. Good description of it. So many of the gut signals reaching the brain, and I'm reading this directly from the book. I'm not paraphrasing nothing. Many of the gut signals reaching the brain will not only generate gut sensations such as the fullness after a nice meal, nausea and discomfort, and feelings of well-being, but also will also trigger responses of the brain that it sends back to the gut. So the brain actually sends signals back to the gut. That's insane. These signals, which you'll learn in a minute here when I read more, is like our body remembers it. Okay, so the brain, it's the next thing I was supposed to read. The brain doesn't forget about these feelings. Okay, so what we sense in our gut will ultimately affect not only the decisions we make about what to eat and drink, but also the people we choose to spend time with, the way we assess critical information as workers, jury members, and leaders. And those are just a couple examples. So think about that shit. That those signals get implanted in us, and then we repeat them over and over again. It's like this stuff is just so fascinating, guys. This is why taking care of yourself is so fucking vital. So fucking vital, especially in a COVID-19 world where you're being shamed to death by doctors. I literally had a doctor try to guilt me into wearing a mask because of the shit that's going on right now. And she wouldn't even have a conversation with me about the real issues here. I read an article earlier that said 74% of the United States population is obese or overweight. So let me ask you guys something. What is the real issue here? Is it the fact that we're unhealthy and we can't fight off diseases because of it? Or is COVID just this unbeatable thing? I don't know. You guys tell me. Okay, so the next thing I want to read from this book is gut microbiota have also been linked to depression. That was when I read that, I was like, holy fuck. Because I know people that have been depressed. I mean, I would be willing to bet that I don't know terminology well, so bear with me. A psychiatrist, psychologist, whoever I would see about something like depression, my guess is they probably would have diagnosed me with it at some point in my life because I had some lows. So gut microbiota have also been linked to depression, the second leading cause of disability in the United States of America. I'm going to repeat that again for you guys because that is fucking insane to me, and especially right now. I heard something the other day that I didn't fact check this, so take this with a grain of salt. One in four Americans have contemplated committing suicide since COVID-19 started. Again, take it with a grain of salt, do your own research. I don't know if that's true or not. I heard it on the interwebs, so of course, a grain of salt, take it. Second leading cause of disability, depression, has been linked to the gut microbiota. All right, another fucking reason why this shit is so important, guys. Another fucking reason. Okay. All right, sorry. This stuff is just so interesting to me. I'm getting the chills. I'm like so excited. Okay. Okay, the next thing I want to read from this book. Muscles in your intestinal walls execute muscular contractions called peristalsis. This moves food down and through your digestive tract. Okay, so this muscular contraction called peristalsis, assuming I'm saying that right, moves food down through your digestive tract. The strength, length, and direction of peristalsis depends on the type of food you have ingested, ensuring, for example, that the gut has more time to absorb fat and complex carbohydrates and less for a sugary drink. Okay, so I just wanted you guys to understand what peristalsis was for a minute there. Okay, part of your intestinal wall contracts, parts of your intestinal walls contract to steer the food being digested to the lining of the small intestine where nutrients are absorbed. Okay, so this is why this is so important to eat the right foods. And even in his words here, the gut has more time to absorb fat and complex carbohydrates. Complex carbohydrates are not drinking soda, you know, Coca-Cola, Mountain Dew. Complex carbohydrates are not eating cupcakes. It's not eating Doritos or cookies. Complex carbohydrates are things like sweet potatoes, whole grains, legumes, that good, that real food that I talk about so damn much. Okay, so your shit's important. Okay, the last thing, I gotta find it. Oh, fuck, I forgot about this one. Another huge thing I read from this book. Our emotional operating programs are written in our genes, okay? So these are things we get from our parents. This genetic coding, oh, he actually said that too. This genetic coding is in part inherited from our parents and is also because people like to harp on genetics a lot, and especially in the fitness industry. Oh, yeah, like my biceps aren't that big because of my genetics. Like, maybe you're just not training hard enough. This genetic coding is in part inherited from our parents and is also influenced by events we experience early in life. So our childhood and things to that effect. That's why that shit's so important. And you got to pay attention to these things. Our emotional operating system can be dictated by this. I mean, people know it, but we don't take a step back to think about things that happened in the past to understand what's emotionally happening to us. All right, now it's the last thing. And then I'm going to get into everything I want to talk about today. This episode shouldn't be as long as the part one, because it's just going to be talking about what dysbiosis is. And again, guys, I am not a gastroenterologist. I am not a doctor. I am not, I like to say physical therapist too, because I talk a lot about movement, dysfunctional movement at that. So please do your own research, okay? I think doctors are, how do I put this kindly? I think they're fairly fucking useless these days. But I mean, look, there are some good doctors. My last doctor that I had was phenomenal. She was great. When I told her I had shoulder pain, instead of writing me a prescription, she told me to go see a physical therapist. My doctor before that wrote me a prescription that fucked up my stomach. Okay, anyway, back to this last section of the book that I want to read to you guys. 90% of the signals conveyed through the vagus nerve. Now, if you guys remember, the vagus nerve is one of those ways our brain and our gut connect. 90% of the signals conveyed through the vagus nerve travel from the gut to the brain, while just 10% of the traffic runs in the opposite direction from the brain to the gut. The gut can handle most of its activities without any interference from the brain, while the brain seems to depend greatly on vital information from the gut. Again, this is why it's so important to be mindful of the shit you're putting in your mouth. And I say shit because most of it is. If you go to McDonald's, if you eat a lot of fast food, if you eat out a lot, if you drink a lot of sugary, shitty drinks, that is actual shit. It is chemically engineered to get you hooked on it. Yes, I said it. Look into it yourself. Anyway, so the brain needs the gut. The gut does 90% of the work without the brain. So think about that. That's how important your gut is to your brain. The last thing, I know I said this already. God, this book is so fascinating. I'm only 50 pages in. Just wait until I'm done. You people are going to, I don't know. I have no idea. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, our GI tract, enteric nervous system, again, another one of those ways that the gut and the brain connect, and brain are in a constant communication. Okay, so 24 hours, 7 days a week, GI tract, enteric nervous system, and brain, all in communication. This may be important for your overall health and well-being than you have ever could have imagined. Hey, again, I read that because, not my words, this is a doctor who's been studying this shit for over 25 years. Okay, now we're going to get into the part where I talk about the stuff I learned, and you guys are going to listen to a personal trainer who has no medical experience, and hopefully, if this interests you, you trust me, or you do your own research. I recommend the second one. Okay, so, dysbiosis. What is dysbiosis? Again, if you haven't listened to part one, go check that out, because it's the end of part one will lead into this. Dysbiosis is the imbalance of bacteria. Remember I was telling you there needs to be good and bad bacteria in our gut. Dysbiosis is the imbalance of it. So the bad bacteria is winning. So you're eating shitty foods. You're not exercising. You're not doing the things you need to be doing to take care of yourself. So your gut health is, for lack of a better phrase, just poo. It's just garbage. Your bowel movements probably aren't good. And in the research I did, apparently women deal with this more than men, which is fascinating to me. I guess it makes sense because women, and I'm generalizing here because I want people to understand something here. I'm a very emotional man, no problem admitting that, but women tend to be more emotional. So I guess it kind of makes sense why women would deal with this, because our emotions are connected to our gut and our gut is very much connected to our brain. So if you kind of connect the dots, it all makes sense. One thing, I want a little sidebar here that you guys need to check the fuck out. If any of this has made you like, it's like flipped a switch and you're like, well, maybe I actually have some digestive issues. Maybe I should listen to what he's saying a bit more, do my own research. The Bristol stool chart. I'm gonna say that again. The Bristol stool chart. People, I know it's weird. I know it's weird to take a dump and then look at it, but like our bowel movements say a lot about us. One of the podcasts I listened to while doing all the research, they were talking about how you can take, that there's like a fecal transplant where they can take, I don't know exactly how this works, so bear with me, but I guess they take some of our feces and they transport to someone else who has an unhealthy gut, and this can help heal them. Apparently they can do this cross species. So they took, and I don't know, I just heard this in a podcast, so I didn't research it. So again, take it with a grain of salt. They took the gut microbiota from a healthy, no, I'm sorry. They took it from a healthy male and put it into a mouse, and the mouse got, no, wait, no, it was backwards. So they took the gut microbiota from an unhealthy, overweight male, and they put it into a mouse, and the mouse got fat. That's insane. That's how important your gut microbiome is. Okay, so some factors when it come down to dysbiosis, things that can cause this: diet, environment, stress, medication. Diet is so important. It's like we literally, quite literally, are what we eat. Diets high in processed food, high sugar foods, and drinks for that matter. Even dairy products like cheese and yogurt. Yeah, I said it. If you are a, what's the word? Herbivore, carnivore, whatever. If you're one of those people, if you're somebody who's still, again, I'm a vegan. You don't have to be. I don't give a shit. But if you still consume dairy, yes, cheese and yogurt are not the greatest thing for your gut microbiome. Within the research I did. Now, I know there are some dairy yogurts that have probiotics in it and things to that effect. I don't know much about that. My guess is these yogurts they were referring to are some of the more high sugar end ones. Environment, like chemicals you're exposed to at work. I used to work in a label manufacturing company, and I would deal with chemicals from time to time. When I was dealing with a lot of my gut issues, I took that into effect. I took that as a factor. Now, I don't know if it was a combination of the two things, but I started taking better care of myself. And then eventually they took me out of the shop, out of the warehouse, and I wasn't exposed to them nearly as much. And my digestive issues kind of seemed to subside. Again, that's just one anecdote. Take it for what it is, but it's a possibility. You have to take everything into consideration. Our environment affects our gut microbiome. Medication, like antibiotics, these things can affect us. I remember my most recent doctor was phenomenal. She was great. We would always talk about food and things to that effect when it came to healing certain situations. And she actually did have to write me a prescription for something once, but she also told me to get a probiotic to counteract the antibiotic. If you have to take antibiotics, maybe it's worth asking your doctor about that. Again, not a doctor. That's just my experience. That's what my doctor told me. But things like anxiety and depression, when we talk about stress and moods and things to that effect, these, like I said, when I that little snippet I read from the book, depression, second leading cause of disability in the U.S., has been directly correlated with the gut microbiota. These things, anxiety, depression, they fuck with our hormones. And they can interfere with our immune system. Okay, so we talked about immune system in the last episode, right? The immune system, which has been a hot topic in the age of 2020, because our immune system fights off viruses. Viruses that seem to be causing all kinds of mayhem these days. So, if anxiety and depression can fuck with hormones that interferes with our immune system that is in our gut, and emotions can be tied directly back to our gut microbiome. You guys can see how all this is connected, how your brain, how your mind, and how your gut are so interconnected, how what you feed that gut can affect your immune system all so well. And this is why, my friends, people like me, people who take care of ourselves, don't want to put a face diaper on because other people don't want to take care of themselves. This is why it bothers somebody like me, because our government officials instead of telling everybody to start taking better care of themselves, are instead shutting shit down and forcing mask mandates. Just think about that stuff for a second, guys. If you're somebody who does take care of themselves, or if you're not, look, I'm not saying the masks don't make sense for certain people, but the overall message here should be take better care of yourself. Your immune system is in your gut. It's one of the ways our brain and our gut connect. We've learned this, right? And things like anxiety and depression can fuck with our hormones, which can interfere with our immune system. And what we eat directly affects our gut. Then we can see how our immune system can become so compromised. And putting on a mask isn't going to solve that problem. If your immune system is compromised, it's compromised. Putting on a mask isn't going to solve that problem. What you need to do is start taking better care of yourself. Start taking some initiative. And I am going to go over a couple things that will help. That can help with these things that I learned. And again, guys, I highly encourage you to do your own research. I am not a doctor. I am just a guy who cares about, well, honestly, all of you. I want people to be healthier. I want you to be happier. Okay, being a, to quote my old coworker, a health freak doesn't have to make you miserable. I am the happiest I've ever been in my life, and I'm also the healthiest I've ever been in my life. The two go hand in hand. Okay, so, sorry. I had to look at my notes here. Dysbiosis is important to understand, like this imbalance of good and bad gut bacteria. Why is it important to understand? Well, because dysbiosis can be a precursor to actually quite a few diseases. I found this fascinating. I didn't know, like I knew about a couple of these things, but not all of them. So it can be a precursor to, just to name a few, I didn't go in crazy, but some of these were insane to me, and one of them actually opened my eyes to something I deal with. It can be a precursor to IBS, and from my understanding, IBS, things like IBS are pretty fucking common these days. Colitis, diabetes, that one I didn't know, but it makes sense if you think about it. Obesity also makes sense if you really think about these things, it makes sense. Obesity. Skin conditions like eczema and acne. I've dealt with acne since I was like fucking 12. I'm 27. I still deal with acne. So this opened my eyes to like maybe I still have some gut issues that I didn't realize. Even though my digestive tract seems to be working way better than it first did when I went vegan, it opened my eyes. The fact that I'm dealing with acne means it's some kind of inflammation that is being caused by something that I'm consuming. So what is it? I don't know. I got to figure out. It can also be a precursor to liver or heart disease. Oh, heart disease, man. If there's one thing I could just put on a fucking billboard, heart disease. Over 600,000 people die yearly in the United States of America. 80% of heart disease conditions are preventable, my friends. That is 4 in 5 heart disease cases. 80%. That's a fucking lot. That's why I had such a huge problem when that doctor tried to guilt trip me into wearing a mask. Not one time did she acknowledge the fact that I said that in my video on Instagram. If you haven't checked that out, go check it out. Okay, so I don't want to harp on that. Anyway, so these things can be dysbiosis can be a precursor to all kinds of shit, all kinds of diseases. Okay, so like how can we prevent dysbiosis? Well, I already kind of hit on some of it, right? You know, cut out the processed foods. Get rid of the high sugary drinks, all that shit, the soda. Look, I am a caffeine addict. I will admit it. But I don't go out and buy, if I'm getting a energy drink, I'm not getting one of those ones that are loaded with sugar, like Monsters. I mean, honestly, some of them have sucralose in it, which isn't that great for your gut either. So look, you know, this made me realize I have to check myself too. We all have faults, okay? One slip up, these things, like if you eat pretty well most of the time and you have, you know, a pint of ice cream that has sugar in it, look, the thing is, if you do some of these things I'm about to tell you, overall, you're gonna put yourself in a better situation. Not just will your immune system work better, but your digestion will work better, so that when you have a sugary drink, when you have a sugary beverage, when you decide to, you know, even though I did a whole episode on this for the Plants PRs podcast, when you decide to quote unquote treat yourself, your body is way more equipped to better handle it. Excuse me. So less processed foods, get the processed shit for the most part, out of your fucking, out of your meal plan, out of your diet. Let it go. Sugar fucks you up. High sugar foods, beverages, get them out of the house. Pump them. If you have those Doritos, that bag of Doritos sitting in your cupboard, I want you to take that bag. I want you to go out back and I want you to fucking punt the shit out of it. I actually did the motion because like that's what I would do if I came to your house right now and I saw it. I would punt it. You have to. Another thing you got to do, you have to do it. And honestly, if you haven't done it yet, you're missing out. Yoga. You got to do yoga. Why do you have to do yoga? Well, you have to de-stress. You have to get some of the stress out of your fucking head, man. We are dealing with so many things on a regular basis. You're constantly stressed out. You're in the state of fight or flight. Guys, this mechanism of fight or flight, the sympathetic nervous system, was designed in the human body for back in the day when we didn't have these beautiful homes over our heads or apartments or townhouse or whatever you got. We didn't have cars to drive in, when we literally feared for our lives all the time, when we had to go hunting for food, when we didn't know when our next meal would be. That's what that's for. Not because you're worried about what your coworker thinks of you, or your husband, or your wife, or your kids. Okay, so do some yoga. Why though? Yoga is amazing because it helps ground you, helps connect you with your body, helps you feel what's going on so you can understand it. And it helps center you, helps you bring you into the present moment. But look, if you don't want to do yoga, do some meditation. Don't be afraid to be alone with yourself. Be alone with your thoughts. You need to understand what's going on up there. Okay, it's happening for a reason. The world has this weird thing going on where we're supposed to, we need to forget about it. We need to do stuff that gets it off our mind. No, maybe every once in a while, but no. You need to understand why it's on your mind, or else you're never going to figure out how to solve the problem. Okay, so meditation, do some yoga, ground yourself, be in the moment, understand the person you are and what's going on in your fucking head. And yes, they really do help. You have to, look, maybe de-stressing these ways isn't for you, but doing drugs, drinking alcohol, using things to escape reality also doesn't do it, okay? So you have to understand what's going on in your head. Yoga and meditation have been the two best ways that I've seen so far, and there is plenty of research to back these things up. So again, I encourage you to look into it yourself. Man, oh, now we're getting into the thick of it, my friends. Exercise, yes, exercise. It promotes the growth of good gut bacteria. It helps feed. Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm going past my notes here. It promotes the growth of good bacteria. We need to exercise. It's not like there's this crazy. It's insane the way the world works, the way society is, and how it's weird. Exercise isn't like a, well, you know, if you want to do it, you should. No. Everybody should fucking do it, because not only does it help maintain a healthy gut, but man, does it help with everything else. It helps you understand what you, my friends, and me, but we're here about for you. We're here for you today. It can help you figure out what you are truly capable of. And if you listen to the first part of this podcast, the first, I don't know, minute of it, when I told you what the podcast was about, that's what it's all about. To figure out what we are truly capable of. And exercise not only promotes good gut bacteria, but it can help you figure out what you're truly capable of. All right, so you gotta do it. Go for a walk. That's all I'm asking. And then down the road, I'll ask you guys to start doing resistance training, because you need strong muscles. Anyway, more fiber. Eat your fucking fiber. And I gotta go back in my notes now, because we talked about this. Why do we need more fiber? Well, fiber, remember, converts into that short-chain fatty acid in the gut called butyrate. And butyrate has a huge role on maintaining the gut intestinal lining. Now, if you guys remember, and if you don't, I'm going to inform you, but if you remember, the gut intestinal lining has 70% of our immune system in it. Okay, again, the immune system. Wow, this is all, the dots are being connected. Woo! The dots are being connected. 70% of our immune system lies within our gut lining. Oh, and butyrate, which stems from fiber, plays a huge role in the maintenance of the gut intestinal lining, where the immune system lies. This is insane. This is insane. I love it. I love it. I'm getting the fucking chills because this is so cool. Okay? So you gotta eat more fiber. You gotta eat more fiber. Okay, a couple other things. And actually, back to the exercise thing real fast. Like, I want to just do a whole episode on how exercise affects. Sorry, I'm just getting so excited. I'm like talking super fast. How exercise affects the gut microbiome on its own. Oh, I actually wrote this note down. I even forgot about it. Exercise may actually also increase the intestinal microbiota diversity through a few mechanisms. This actually, after this fact right here, this is all coming back to me. This fact right here is why exactly I want to just do an episode on exercise alone. Exercise can promote the anti-inflammatory state. And remember, inflammation is like one of the fucking key components to like every major disease out there. Again, inflammation is important. Our body uses inflammation to fight off things. Inflammation happens when we're done a heavy training session too. So inflammation is important. It's not necessarily bad, but it's how and like what it's doing. Okay? Okay, so the other two things I want to hit on when it comes to preventative measures, when it comes to dysbiosis, pre and probiotics. Okay, so again, please do your own research. If you remember, I said when my doctor prescribed me an antibiotic, she told me to take a probiotic with it. Now, my understanding was it kind of balanced out. So the probiotic has the strains of the good microbacteria in it, and it puts it into your gut. Now, again, from my understanding, and I highly encourage you guys to do your own research, probiotics don't stay in the gut. That good, what you call it? That good gut bacteria doesn't stay in the gut. That's where oh, you stupid phone. We were doing so well. That's where prebiotics come in. I am going to credit Dr. Will Bolsowitz. I've listened to a podcast with him on it. He's a very smart man. I highly encourage you guys to check him out on Instagram. He was the one who educated me on this. Prebiotics, actually, the reason they're better is because they actually help feed the healthy gut bacteria in our belly. Okay, so prebiotics are good. Prebiotic fiber, to be more specific. I think the one he talked about was inulin. I think that's a good one, if I'm not mistaken. But again, please do your own research. I am not a doctor. I am just a guy who gives a fuck. All right, guys. So that's pretty much it. So preventative measures, preventative. Let's just recap. Preventative measures for dysbiosis or dysfunctional, or the, I'm sorry, the imbalance of good and bad gut bacteria. And I apologize, I did not mean for this to be a half an hour long, but I'm just so, I love it. Eat more fiber. Why? Fiber converts into that short chain fatty acid butyrate, and butyrate is very important when it comes to the gut intestinal lining and our immune system. Eat less processed foods and high sugar. I would say none. Get them the fuck out of your goddamn house. You gotta de-stress. You got like our if anything, I hope you guys take away, if there's one thing that you guys can take away from these two episodes, it's just how insanely connected our brain and gut is, that our emotional state can affect our gut microbiome. Okay, so if you're constantly stressed out, you're always going to be in that fight or flight state, and you're never going to be in that parasympathetic state, the rest and digestive state, where your body can digest the food you consumed. Okay, so you have to de-stress, you have to relax. Preferably without medication of any sort. All right. Exercise. Again, in my opinion, it's not optional. Go for a fucking walk. It's not hard. It's not hard. Pre and probiotics can be very useful. Prebiotics help feed the healthy gut bacteria. Probiotics, just kind of. Again, my understanding, I could be wrong about this. They have the good strands in them already, and it leaves your digestive tract. So guys, I really, really hope you actually listened to all of this, and I hope it all made sense. I hope everything started connecting for you guys like it did for me. Again, I got so excited to do these episodes. This was so informative for me. You know, I learned so much for myself. And I really hope this brought some value to you guys. If it did, I would appreciate it more than anything in this world if you guys can share the episode. If you know somebody who has digestive issues and you're like, you know, just check us out. He's not a doctor, but you gotta emphasize that. He's not a doctor. But there's some really good information in here. He helps connect the dots well. Or, you know, maybe I didn't. Maybe, I don't know. You guys tell me. Please leave a rate and review on iTunes, because that helps boost my podcast in the iTunes algorithms. And guys, and again, anything you can do to help me grow the show, share it on social media. That would mean the absolute fucking world to me. All right, guys. I'll see you in the next episode.
Peace out, fam.